We kick off hour number three of the program, Game Day Edition. Tennessee's set to take on Vanderbilt at Memorial, whatever they call it, Gym, Coliseum, I don't know.
Gymnasium.
Memorial Gym.
Yeah. You ever been in there?
Nope.
Weird box.
Yeah.
Raised floor.
Did you hate it? Like it? Neutral.
It's weird. It's very unique. Didn't love it. Weird backdrop. You know, it's just a strange place. Seems like trying to remember if we've ever had just an amazing shooting performance there. It's just so different than anything else in the SEC. Not looking for an amazing shooting performance tonight, just because I don't know if we're capable of that. Odd Shark has released their predicted score for the game. 74-65. Tennessee a 9-point favorite, according to Odd Shark. I believe the line has now moved up to 8, by the way. People bet in Tennessee. According to Odd Shark, Tennessee will win, cover the spread, but the total will go under the 140. So, do with that what you will. Spread consensus has 71% of the money coming in on Tennessee minus 7. And a lot of folks are betting the over. 100% of the money on the
100%.
Over. 100%. On Odd Shark. 100% of the money on
every
the
bet.
Over at 141. I believe it was 140. Nope, it was 141 also on FanDuel. That has not been adjusted yet.
So they think Tennessee is going to come out running and gunning. And then the points will just rack up for both teams.
Yeah, and I guess feel like 74, 75 points for us is a decent offensive night.
Yeah. We scored 90 against South Carolina. Last bat really.
Was it 81-61 against Vandy in the first matchup? I think that's right.
Maybe they think Vandy's playing a little better, too.
So they are. They are playing a little better.
You know, that number's too low, kind of set on their metrics for the year. Well, next question. Is the mid-range jumper a thing of the past for great offenses?
Unless you are knocking them down at an incredible clip, they probably should be. Love that mid-range jumper.
No team in the current top 100 of field goal efficiency in 2021 gets more than 33.7% of their shots from non-rim twos, which is a full 2.3% less than Tennessee. In fact, only 6 of the top 50 even cracked 30%, which was the average just 10 years ago. Among the current top 25 in field goal efficiency, no team is anywhere near Tennessee's 324 mid-range jumpers on the season. Only one team, Campbell, even cracks 200 mid-range jump shot attempts on the season. Are you kidding me? We've shot 324 mid-range jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
And only one top 25 team in field goal efficiency has shot 200. Like, we're a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
We're the dodo bird. We're...
That's why I'm not kidding. Like, it's amazing that we're in the top 25
I know.
With these this offensive system.
Lastly, the expected points per possession on a two-point jumper from 8 to 14 feet is roughly 0.732. Or 36.6% field goal percentage, and 0.704, 35.2% from 15 to 20 feet. An average team would have to shoot 24.4% or worse on threes for these shots to technically be advantageous. Tennessee makes 34.4% of theirs. So basically, Tennessee is worse than the average mid-range jump shooting team this year. We're slightly worse. Okay, so the expected points from taking those jumpers is 36-35%. We're actually 34% this year. So we're a little worse than what we should expect to get taking those shots. And we would have to if we could just shoot 25% and take threes on those possessions, we'd be better off.
More threes.
I mean, this is, I hate to say it because we say it about really dumb football coaching with like Butch and Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this is technically what you should call coaching malpractice.
Mm. Not an indictment.
Not so much like just being an idiot, like we've seen with, or not being able to motivate. I mean, like, like this is basically, there's enough math to essentially say, it's like in baseball, like you shouldn't bunt here, and the manager keeps calling for the bunt, and it's not even close. It's like 10 points difference. You know, like 10 percentage points different. It's not like it's close. It's not like, well, I got a gut feeling in this situation.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It's like not even close.
And it's consistently who we are.
Get this. Tennessee shoots better mid-range than they do from three, obviously. I mean, who wouldn't?
You'd hope so.
But it's 38% to 34.4%. Shooting 38% on your mid-range twos gives you a per-possession point of 0.76. 34% on threes, meanwhile, results in 1.032. That's a 27-point difference across 100 possessions.
It's like painful, really.
It is. We barely shoot the twos better than the threes. So why wouldn't you... You get an extra point back here, coach. Like,
and the floor is a little bit more spread out. You can probably get a few more rebounds. Yeah.
It's easier to get open from farther from the basket.
Yes. I did see, I know we've brought up this, like, the shot percentage. Did you see that it happened again against Kentucky? Like, based on all the shots taken, Tennessee would win that game 65% of the time. If you took the exact same shots for 10 games, like Tennessee's going to win like roughly 7 out of 10, but we lost by 15. We were never in the game.
It's unreal.
It's like, I don't know how they weight certain shots, but like...
It feels like Tennessee broke their model. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I can't tell you how many times this season that's happened.
Yeah, like Tennessee,
Kansas should have beat us.
Right.
Another
team that probably takes more mid-range than any other, like, blue blood.
Really?
I would guess, yeah. I mean, Bill Self, he's an inside-out guy.
Mm.
It's kind of like these dinosaur teams are breaking their... Because all they're doing is tracking where the shot came from, right?
Where it comes from, who shot it, and were they open?
Yeah.
Or open-ish, I guess. I'm not sure exactly how they quantify that. Good times, man. So we're gonna win tonight.
Yeah.
After reading this, are you more depressed though?
Yeah, we'll win tonight, but I'm completely out on Rick Barnes' ceiling in 2020s, in the 2020 decade, unless he adapts. Adapt or die.
Is it? I mean, does he just not feel like he has?
I don't
3-point shooters. I mean, we know we don't have a big right now that can play consistently. Does he just not trust the 3-point shot? And he, like, is that just a mental block for him, where it's like, okay, a good look in the mid-range is better than, like, Vescovi shooting a three, Bailey shooting a three? Like, I mean, the numbers pan it out right there.
Oh, I mean, it's black and white. When you're less than 4% worse taking threes.
I mean, and you said it yesterday, like, in practice, like, put the blue tape down and say, if you shoot between here and here, you're running.
Yeah. I mean, they should have done that.
At least if you miss it.
They should have done that all summer. See, they didn't. No. You know what? You want to know what's really scary? I don't think Rick Barnes knows any of this.
You don't think somebody's going to put this on his desk today?
Nope. I think it's a big problem in college athletics. I think we've seen it with football coaches we've had here. We see it. You see it with basketball coaches. You see it. Rick Barnes is considered so successful by the people that work for him, the people that are his boss over there. No one can tell him anything.
He doesn't seem like that type jerk, though.
No. I just, dude, it's our current culture. Like, no one wants to. We're broken because no one will confront anybody about anything. They'd rather just swallow it, move on, and just let it be a thing. Like, no one's going to walk up. can Kim English really walk up to Rick Barnes and say, hey, coach,
I would hope so.
I think we should change the entire way we run our offense at Tennessee from now on.
Well, if you had this article and the numbers to back it up, you'd have to think a successful coach, a guy with a brain, someone who's watched as much basketball as Rick Barnes has, would at least
hear him out and not get mad at him. Right,
at least attempt to listen.
But when somebody's been successful for 20, 30 years, I mean, you hear these guys talk. Boeheim, Calhoun, Izzo, Krzyzewski. Like, they change over time. They become these egomaniacs that can do no wrong in their own mind.
Well, people have had a big problem with Barnes on that all year. When we lose, it's on the players. And
well, somebody called in and said he got asked the question on Vol calls or something.
Yeah, it was Jamie asking, you know, can a coach lose a game? No. Can you win one? Well, yeah, probably, yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Of course. I mean, it's just, like, I don't know if anybody would be comfortable enough in their own skin to say, hey, coach, I had the GA pull the analytics on our shooting, and, I mean, you could do it softly. You could basically say with this cast and crew, I mean, you can basically say with Grant and Admiral and those guys, that offense was perfect. You know, we just lost a close game, and that was the end of the year.
Right, right.
We could have gone all the way. I mean, if I was going to go to Rick Barnes, I would say, hey, coach, with these guys, I think they have done that to some degree because they have tweaked the offense. They have made changes throughout the season.
Right, and that's why I'm saying, like, surely to goodness.
I just don't think I don't think Rick Barnes has been convinced that he needs to change his method forever. Like, it's done. It's over. Like, players are not built that way anymore because they went back to it against Kentucky and scored 55 points. Like, they didn't score 55 points because they tried to play the style that they had switched to and couldn't do it well. They scored 55 points because they went back to the old style that doesn't work. Why did you do that? I don't know. Maybe they'll see it. Maybe they'll be like, yep, we can't meld these two things together. We just got to go all in. It's a movie. I understand it's not wasn't even what happened in real life. But it's Moneyball, where basically Brad Pitt's character, which again, I know it's kind of a fake based on, but he basically says, if we're going to go Moneyball, you have to do it all out, the whole thing. You can't. What Tennessee's done this year is they tried to meld together the old school score at three levels thing with, let's just sprinkle in a little dribble drive to help Keon and Jane get some better shots. Doesn't work. Not going to work. If you're going to start recruiting Keon Johnsons and Jaden Springers year in, year out, you better change your entire offensive philosophy to match.
Yeah.
Nick Saban does it in football. Mm-hmm. Look where it gets him.
You either have to recruit perfectly for your style or be willing to adapt based on your personnel.
And I don't think there's enough recruits out there to run the old, you know. Maybe there are, but I don't know.
I mean, I think there's enough, but if you...
But you have to get them all.
Right. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, he's recruiting at a high level.
Right.
But it's kind of a square peg, round hole deal.
I mean, we've seen coaches do it. I mean, Coach K used to always play man-to-man defense, always pressure man. I remember a game where I believe it was Billy Donovan at Florida where he just completely outcoached Coach K in a tournament game at one point, and Duke lost because they refused to change their defense at all or do anything differently, and Florida just kept scoring. But then if you watch Coach K lately – I mean, the last 5 years, they started playing some zone. They started doing some different things. They started running a lot of ISO offense, whereas that wasn't his style before. Coaches have done it. I mean, Rick Pitino went from an all-man press guy to running zone. I mean, those are just the two examples. Is Rick Barnes going to have a third act here as a coach?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had the rebuild of football school, go to Texas, run that. He's had kind of the second act with Tennessee where he's got you recruiting players that – or NBA guys, but is he going to have another level where he adjusts to 2020's basketball and has a higher ceiling? Because right now your ceiling is just you can't turn it over, you can't be sloppy, you got to take all great shots, you got to be great on defense.
Yeah, there's not a lot of margin for error.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we'll come back with more. Stick with us right here, Fan Run Radio. Hour 3 continues from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Pick up some White Claw. 5% alcohol by volume. Delicious flavors. White Claw hard seltzer made pure. Man, you got coach quotes in here too. Good Lord, this is so good. One said, it definitely feels like Tennessee takes more than most teams when you're watching the game. Talking about mid-range shots. I think that the offense doesn't always lend itself to drives all the way to the rim because there's usually one or two offensive players already within 15 feet. I'm fine with pull-up jumpers that are in the paint. I can't stand when players take the one dribble pull-ups at like 17 feet. I'm not sure why they can't take one or two more dribbles to get inside 10 feet. Another coach said, I think the decline in mid-range attempts is driven by analytics. The data seems to be overwhelming that there are more efficient ways to score. I think a great offense does need the ability to score in the mid-range. I also think a great offense can focus on threes and layups. While the focus can be on analytically sound shots, the reality is that with the shot clock and against good defenses, sometimes the ability to score in the mid-range can be an X factor. And then this last one I thought was just incredible. I think the decline is due to analytics and a better understanding of what leads to maximum offensive efficiency. If you look at points per shot, the mid-range jumper is generally the lowest value shot in the game. I think there is a difference between shooting a shot if you're open and shooting one because it's a great shot. If you have an individual or individuals who are efficient and effective from the mid-range, then it makes sense to let them shoot those shots. However, I do think that the foundation of any elite offense centers around layups, spot up threes, and free throws. Essentially,
well, you do at least hit the free throws a good clip. Well, we just don't shoot enough of them.
Will's conclusion makes perfect sense. Essentially, there can be a role for mid-range jumper in today's offense, but it's more about if you can hit those shots. And if you can't hit those shots, you shouldn't be taking them in the first place. And if there are better shots to be had, take those. Tennessee hasn't answered any of these three questions in a reasonable manner today, in a reassuring manner today, excuse me. Like the Grant Williams team shot that shot well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're open there, take it.
Bone can knock that down. Bowden can knock that down. Admiral can knock that down. Grant shot it well.
But this team barely makes that shot better than they shoot from three.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe that's why I feel like this team can't shoot. You know, every time I say they can't shoot, Billy will be like, well, actually, Josiah's shooting this from three.
And
it's that they just look so bad when they take the mid-range shot. Like, just get all the way to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
They're so athletic. I mean, everybody on the every player on the floor is super athletic for their position except for Vescovi. Like, Fulkerson is super athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Pons.
Freak.
Don't need to say anymore. I mean, the two freshmen, studs. Josiah James, he's a monster. Like, Vescovi's the only guy that's usually out-athlete at his position.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't have a five, so, I mean, I guess you could say Anasicki's a short five.
Well, we've talked about how, as big as Pons is, he seemingly is afraid to attack the rim. And, I mean, Houston, you equated it to maybe he doesn't trust his ball handling skills to get to the rim.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's also year four. Like, he should have gotten better at that by now.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, is that fair to say? Like, if Pons is not comfortable putting the ball on the floor, like, why have we not worked on that with him?
Definitely.
Real quickly, in the SEC last night, Ole Miss beat number 24 Missouri, 60-53. Georgia upsets LSU, 91-78. And Florida held Auburn to 22 points in the first half. They beat the Tigers 74-57. It took Auburn last night, I think, 11 minutes to score 10 points in the first half.
Yeah, Sharif Cooper didn't play.
Ah, okay. Is he injured?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What's the long-term prognosis there? Is he going to be back for Tennessee's game against Auburn on Saturday?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just saw him sitting on the bench yesterday when the game came on while I was doing overtime.
Gotcha. Fascinating.
Hmm.
You guys want to turn to football?
No. The next question is, can you...
The basketball talk is starting to make me like mad and also just depressed. But I
all right. Well, how about some positivity?
Okay.
How about some positivity? If Tennessee goes small, can they kind of fix this team's issues with a small lineup this year? All right. If Tennessee plays five of Vescovi, Bailey, Keon, Springer, Josiah Jordan James, and Pons on the court. So that's six guys. Mm-hmm. They play five out of those six. They turn the ball over nearly half as often as if they go bigger.
Hmm. I want positivity.
Makes sense. There's more ball handlers.
Mm-hmm.
They take just 27.8% of their shots from the mid-range, as opposed to 35.6% with other lineups. So all of a sudden, with those guys in the game, they're almost 8% less mid-range jumpers. They do get out-rebounded, but
naturally
have a better defensive rebounding percentage. So they're not getting many offensive rebounds.
Right.
They force the defense into tougher shots, 30% mid-range, contrasted with 24.8% without. And most importantly, their offensive rating of 126.4, which will be third highest nationally over a full season with that lineup.
What?
I want positivity.
With when we go super small, we would be the third best team in the nation over a full season if we could keep those numbers up. Now, obviously, there'd be some regression, but...
So you're saying bench Folky? If it's not working, right?
What Will Warren says is Tennessee's in crunch time, starting and closing lineups, Tennessee should go small. They have simply been significantly better when they do that versus when they don't. So, Kamwa, never play him unless you have to. Anasicki, never play him unless you have to. Play those six guys and John Fulkerson as your seventh, and that's it. I mean, that's what you should do.
Will we get that tonight?
No, probably not.
Vandy doesn't have a big team, are they?
Probably the same stuff.
They're worse than us rebounding.
So, after all these words, Will would like to offer a temporary fix in lieu of the larger, more systematic fix that should be implemented over the offseason. Rick Barnes, if you'd like to see this team accomplish everything it can, the following lineups need as many minutes as possible. Three of Vescovi, Bailey, Johnson, and Springer to go with Josiah, Jordan James at power forward, and Eve Pons at center.
Mm-hmm.
The small Vols represent Tennessee's best chance at Tennessee achieving what they set out to achieve, both statistically and aesthetically. Let's see what happens.
Are we a little late in the season to experiment?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Should have done this to start the year.
Hmm.
Look, here's the thing. With John Fulkerson in the game, you get to decide when and where you shoot. So he shouldn't hurt you on offense. He just has because of the way this offense is designed.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should, I mean.
Well, he doesn't really take a lot of bad shots. He just hasn't been making them. And
he hasn't even taken them.
He's been turning the ball
over. So, like, you got those seven guys. Play those seven guys pretty much exclusively. Go to the number eight and nine only if injury or foul trouble dictates. And that's it. Let's ride. But that's what we've talked about. All year, you cannot. Will Warren did in one web post what Rick Barnes threw. How many games have we played? I mean, 20-something? Like, hasn't been able to show us
21.
What they're thinking. So we've played 21 games, and you can't see the pattern. You can't see the rationale on why certain guys play at certain times. Other than, well, he had a good week of practice, so we gave him a little more time.
I don't know if it's that. I think he's really quick to pull guys if they make one or two defensive mistakes. But by doing that, you end up with a Gaines or a Kumwa or a Pember, and then everything just kind of crumbles. Because they might go in and not make a defensive mistake, but they're not going to give you anything offensively. And we all know Rick Barnes, he values defense over offense. So, like, if I've scored 12 straight points, but I give up, a backdoor layup,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get benched, which, again, like, there has to be a trade-off there. Like, sometimes you got to trade a good offensive performance and realize that it got – like Victor Bailey, for example, right? He goes out and he hits a couple threes, then he gives up a layup. It's like, okay, well, he's still plus four on his man. Maybe don't immediately just pull him and bench him and, talk to him about how he missed his defensive assignment. But if you watch, guys typically get taken out of the game because they turn it over, which is, you know, whatever, or they make a defensive mistake. But it's basketball.
I'll just go my coaching soapbox. I've never understood taking a kid out of a game for a non-mental error, unless you think it's going to happen again. Like, okay, my backup point guard's in the game, right? Other team goes to a press. Backup point guard turns it over, and I'm like, there is no way my backup point guard is going to be able to handle this team's really good press. Mm-hmm. Starting point guard, back into the game.
Right.
That's a reason to make a sub, because they made a mistake, because it's going to happen again. If my backup point guard's bringing the ball up the court and just
dribbles it off his foot.
Yeah. There's no point in taking the kid out. Like,
yeah.
They're upset about it. I don't need to yell at them. I don't need to take them out to prove. Now, if backup point guard misses a shot and pouts going back down the court and we get beat in transition, or hell, even if we don't, backup point guard misses a shot and pouts at all, get him out. That's how I would punish. I'm never going to punish a kid for trying to make a play and making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Rick Barnes has the same philosophy, and sometimes when those guys get taken out, he feels like there has been a mental error that he has to correct in the moment.
Right.
But, like, games are performances, right? Like, you don't stop the play because the lead actor missed a line and put somebody else in.
Right.
Like, the performance has to be as good as possible on game night. You fix all the other stuff in film, practice,
film, right.
Whatever. I don't know.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, in-game adjustments and coaching can take place. I'm with you, and that's why I brought that up, because we seem to see that a lot. You know, Josiah is really helping you out on offense. He's, you know, doing everything right, but then he loses his man in help defense, and he hits and then it's like, oh, sit down. You failed.
If the next kid is going to play that perfectly, then why isn't that kid in the game anyway? Is usually what I used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if my kids have to worry about making mistakes while they play the game, we are not going to be as good as we could be. You know whose players never, ever, ever worry about taking a bad shot or making a mistake?
Bruce Pearl.
Bruce Pearl. We'll come back with more. Welcome back in White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We talked Tennessee Vandy tonight. I guess you can get that football note ready. Get the news and notes music ready too, Alex.
I'm ready whenever you need me, boss.
All right. See, that's...
He likes it when people call him boss.
Nah, I don't.
Okay, boss.
I mean, I don't mind it. It's fine. Either way. Not too picky with that stuff.
Okay.
David tweets in, "The math doesn't lie. We are so dumb. I wish they would listen to y'all over there."
Well,
just hire Will Warren. Just get him. Seriously. Put him on staff. I don't know. Mitchell, he's the Utah Jazz fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Says, "I watched one total game last year, and I tried really hard to watch the team this year. It's just not fun basketball to watch. I'll check back in for March Madness."
Good. Dang. God. Wow. Big Creighton guy.
Oh, yeah. Creighton. Jazz.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Well, he lives in Lincoln.
I don't think he watches their basketball either.
Yeah. Dang.
Man. They're pretty good.
Nebraska is?
Creighton.
Oh, yeah. Creighton's good.
All right. Well, hopefully the small vols talk gave you a little positivity.
It helped a little bit, yeah. Wasn't terrible. If we don't do that tonight, I'm going to be even more furious.
Well, he did try to go. I mean, he just benched Fulkerson at the end of the Alabama game. But I think that's just because he couldn't guard anybody on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he realizes that the offense is a problem with the – but I don't know. It blew my mind today when I thought about it. In our main contributors group of players,
mm-hmm.
which is about eight guys, we have no point guards and no fives. No ones, no fives. I mean, that's a big problem.
It's a recruiting issue.
Yeah.
That's a personnel problem.
Man. I could talk basketball offense all day. It's one of my favorite things to do is take a group of players and try and come up with what would be the best offense for their skill set.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier.
We don't do that.
That's what's weird. It's like he's recruited all this talent that doesn't fit his system, instead of changing the system, he plays that talent in the system that doesn't showcase what they're best at, what they're most capable of accomplishing.
And it's like a lot of things. Like he's really good at a lot of the coaching aspects. And so are we judging him much more harshly than we did, you know, Jeremy Pruitt in year one? Sure. But I mean, that's what comes with the top five salary in all of college basketball. Well, like, you got to do it all well.
The expectations of what he's built here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we all saw this team I remember sitting here having those conversations. Like, what are your expectations for this team? I said I thought they'd start slow, pick it up late, and probably had the potential to be an Elite Eight. And I think I said that a Sweet 16 should probably be the floor. I still think they can reach a Sweet 16. I also think they could be a five or a six seed that gets bounced in the first round. That's what's frustrating. Can't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Because against some teams, it works. And you look like $1 million. And then all of a sudden you get against a team that, for whatever reason, matchup-wise, you don't adjust as the game is being played. You just keep trying to, like against Kentucky, just stay in the set. Stay in it. And it's not working, and we just don't adjust. That's what's frustrating.
Yeah.
Tonight will be a very interesting watch. Vanderbilt playing better, still a team you should handle. Do we see Rick Barnes explore a little bit with some new ideas to get this team on a more consistent track offensively?
Yeah, we'll see.
We will. 9:00.
Nah.
Memorial Gymnasium. Take a nap.
Actually, I'm kind of glad. I'm going to take my son to his basketball practice tonight.
Mm.
7:00. Won't get done until about 8:15.
Oh, be perfect.
Yeah, get settled in.
Just don't forget the ranch when you stop and grab a salad, you know?
I know. I will. I'll make sure. Mm-hmm. Make sure he gets his ranch.
Yep. That's on you.
He's an old soul. You know? He eats salads, likes to stay healthy. He's 9.
Good genes, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he's a good athlete. He's just too short, like his dad and his mom. Didn't get the height.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to sit here and dunk on him like during the show. I was
no.
Saying.
No, athletic. Final segment of the program, getting you set for game day. We got baseball today, too. You can watch it at 4:30.
I will. Well, I handle some business.
Who's on the bump today, Alex, you know?
No idea.
Put you on the spot. My bad.
You have that football nugget.
Yep. Just been sitting on it.
All right, let's hear it.
Waiting for my cue.
Cued.
This is actually pretty good.
So, Jamie Hyatt, the father of Jalen Hyatt.
Mm, I thought you just misspoke there for a second. All right.
No, he's very active on Twitter.
Jamie. Okay. Jamie is?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He tweeted out that the parents had a Zoom meeting with Coach Josh Heupel last night. His idea, by the way. Vol Nation.
Josh's or Jamie's idea?
Josh Heupel's.
Oh, good.
He did a parents-coach Zoom meeting.
All right.
He said, hashtag Vol Nation. We have a player's coach who's going to love and push our sons to form a close team in all caps, first brotherhood, to compete, to strive for excellence on and in all caps,
man,
off the field in a myriad of
myriad.
Myriad.
You see, I knew that word was going to trip me up.
Yeah, it's okay. I kind myriad of expected it to, yeah.
Of different ways.
Orange emoji. You think Pruitt did a lot of parents-only Zoom meetings?
I guess I know.
Yeah, probably not. Sounds like Heupel's impressing some people.
All right. That's a good note.
That's very good. Now we just got to get some of those recruits. Just one. Got to get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one. Maybe two. Any latest update on whether or not Ty Simpson going to come here? Any foreshadowing from anyone? You heard much?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Nothing. Not a thing.
Okay.
I'll check his crystal balls for you real quick.
I don't know that I want to hear him. I got a bad feeling.
Same as before. No change.
All to Clemson.
Yeah, but they're all old now. Like, I don't even know that they matter. Just nothing new. It's probably good news that there haven't been more to Clemson.
That's fair. It's a good point. Good point by you. It's not like the insiders have the scoop and they're waiting on it. Maybe no one knows. That would be, again, I don't know, like, long term if it really matters, but it would be pretty cool if Heupel could get that big commitment in his first couple months on the job.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean absolutely nothing long term, but I feel like it would give the fan base a little bit of positivity, a little bit of juice. And maybe you could, even if he ultimately didn't sign here, just to have that kind of bump with the in-state class. Oh, they got Ty Simpson? I think that'd be a nice move. Or they can go get Sam Horn, and I think I'd be just as excited. Yeah, yeah. So
Sam Horn would be good.
You know what happens tomorrow, don't you?
What happens tomorrow?
Thursday. First day.
25th?
First day,
first,
baby.
First day what?
Bassmaster Elite Series on the Tennessee River. They're in town! What do you mean?
It's going to rain all weekend.
I know, I'll be out there. Not on this lake, but freezing somewhere. Actually, it's supposed to be fairly warm.
Okay.
Excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a big deal, man. Knoxville. Fishing USA.
Prestigious award.
We're on the map.
Donnie said, switching gears to the game tonight, he'd like to see the numbers game by game on that mid-range shooting. And he said, it feels like we either shoot 55%, win by 20, or we shoot 22%, lose by 15.
Yeah, that is, I felt like that too.
Kind of all or nothing.
Yeah. We're not, like, I get that it's, you know, the percentage over the season, but it does feel like in certain games we hit a bunch of them, and then it's the same thing with threes, it feels like. We'll go, like, 10 of 20, and then in the next game we'll go, like, 6 of 26. We are a hot and cold team. Inconsistent. I mean, as a coach, what would you rather have? A guy who hits 4 out of 10 every night? Or a guy who on one night might hit 8 out of 10, and then on the next night, 1 out of 10. Probably 4 out of 10 every night, right?
Give me the consistency. Well, as we jump around, we'll give you our picks in a second. Alex Smith said that Washington never wanted him back this past year. No one in the building thought he would come back. He did all his rehab outside the building. When I decided to come back, I definitely threw a wrench in the team's plan. They didn't see it. Didn't want me there. Didn't want me to be a part of it. Didn't want me to be on the team. The roster didn't want to give me a chance. And apparently they don't want him back next year either.
Burning it down.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that one coming.
They would have saved, I think, somewhere around $3.5 million if they had cut him last year prior to the season.
Yeah.
But they didn't want the optic of cutting the guy who's working so hard to get back?
Yep.
And now he's giving them the optic that they didn't want him back? That's good. Good on him, man.
I mean, it was clear with the way they started Dwayne Haskins. He played terrible, benched him. They went to Kyle Allen. He got hurt. It was just out of pure necessity that they turned to Alex Smith.
Right.
Because they literally had no other option.
And then who was the guy that played in their last game?
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Taylor Heinicke?
Heinicke, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about him potentially winning the starting job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people who said he's got a lot of talent. Once he gets the reps at the one, he might be a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm. All right, who you got tonight?
I'm taking Tennessee.
Tennessee? Score?
77-66.
I think Tennessee will win. I don't want to do a score prediction.
Why not?
I'm always so far off.
I see.
Joe says we need more Bassmaster talk over this depressing basketball conversation. I agree, Joe.
Please no.
Tennessee 75. Vanderbilt 71.
Really?
I don't know. I got no clue on this one.
If
They're both.
I just want to feel good after tonight's game. Is that possible?
If we win 93-60 something again, I think we will. But then you'll be like, seen this before. They'll probably blow it next game.
I mean, I did bet on Tennessee to cover, and I took the over. So points would be great.
Okay, points great. Got it.
Points
check.
Are good. Points are good. The good news is this team doesn't really typically put two really bad games back to back unless you're missing somebody. And I'm a little worried that if Joe's not out there again tonight, we may look less than average.
Score app, GTD.
Yeah. Game time decision. And I haven't heard.
Well, it's hard to run that small lineup with five out of the six guys with six guys not there, you know, or one of your fives not there. That's tough.
I mean, you can still run it. You're just going to be tired.
You're just going to then put some other guys in and go.
Yeah.
Go the other way. So.
Let's see here. Rick Barnes, not sure.
9 o'clock tonight, tip-off baseball, 4:30. We'll break it all down for you tomorrow.
You think they score over or under 21 runs again today?
I'll go under 21, over 10.
It's pretty big margin there.
Rutgers plays Indiana tonight. Just wanted to let you guys know.
Davey Hudson will be back tomorrow, ladies. Commander Chuck, too. We got that all worked out.
Yeah.
So that'll be, yeah. The Velvet Vocal Cords.
Happy Wednesday.
Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here, Alden Franklin Motors.